Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 1. And as you make your way there, I want to share with you a story that is both tragic but yet enlightening from one of the best books I've ever read, and I've read it multiple times, A Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor who was imprisoned in four different concentration camps, including, for a very brief time, at Auschwitz, which was where more than 1.1 million people were killed. Viktor Frankl's life prior to becoming a prisoner was spent studying and practicing in the fields of psychology, philosophy, and in medicine. He was a graduate student of the University of Vienna in Austria, which at that time, back in the 1930s, was at the forefront of psychological work and study that was being done. The University of Vienna is considered the birthplace of psychoanalysis with the work of memorable people like Sigmund Freud, but it's also a place where other very different methodologies and psychotherapeutic models were developed, including the work of Alfred Adler, who was a renowned psychologist who founded the School of Individual Psychology, and then also including Viktor Frankl, who was the founder of the School of Logotherapy. Now, what I love about the therapeutic model of logotherapy developed by Frankl is that it is very future-forward-oriented. Unlike the work of other psychologists who would focus on the past and their attempts to try to understand and help people, the work of Frankl sought to get people looking forward and find a meaning and a purpose in the future that could draw them forward into more healthy and fruitful lives, thus man's search for meaning. When Viktor Frankl found himself entering into that very first concentration camp experience as a prisoner, he brought with him a diverse collection of views and understandings of his own and of his peers about the psychology of human beings. And while there are things about human beings that are a part of our human nature and how we are naturally hardwired, there are other things about human beings that are a result of how we are nurtured. Our experiences in our lives, for good and for bad, even as little kids, can have a tremendous shaping impact on our lives and the people we eventually become. How people react to and cope with those difficulties and challenges of this world is an important area for any counselor and psychologist to understand. And so as Viktor found himself living among thousands of people, forced to endure some of the worst treatment ever inflicted on human beings by human beings, he was able to observe and learn some profound things about the human experience. He was able to see with his own eyes the best and the worst of people brought out by their traumatizing context. One of those important lessons he learned and observed in those camps was the power of hope. The story from his experience in his first book, which illustrates the power of hope most powerfully and tragically, involved a fellow prisoner who had a dream that he had a dream in February of 1945. In his dream, a voice told him that he could ask for whatever he wanted to know and he would get an answer to his question. And what he wanted to know was when their camp would be liberated so that they would be free from their suffering. That's what he wanted to know above anything else. The answer that he was given in that dream from that voice was March 30th, 1945. He shared his dream with Dr. Frankl and with others. His dream gave him hope. His dream gave him strength. His dream helped him to keep holding on. But then, as the day he had been hoping for came near, the war news that made its way into the camp wasn't promising, and his confidence and hope faded. On March 29th, that prisoner with a dream became ill, and by March 30th, he was unconscious, and by March 31st, he was dead. In the words of Viktor Frankl, to all outward appearances, he had died of typhus. But then Frankl goes on to talk about how the sudden loss of hope can have a deadly effect on a person, weakening our immune systems and all sorts of things. Inward hope had kept that prisoner alive. When that inward hope was gone, so was his life. Hope in this world is powerful. Hope in this broken world is necessary. And hope is where we once again begin this newest season of Advent. So go ahead and stand with me as I read. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 5 through 20. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. In the time of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense came, all of the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and be seated. Now, just a few weeks ago, we had a message highlighting the story and the example of Hannah. For many years, Hannah had been praying to the Lord to finally bless her with a child with no such luck. Every year, Hannah would make a trip to the temple to make an offering and lift up her prayer while at the same time being pestered by her adversary, which just happened to be the other wife of her husband who had many kids and was putting that in her face. And then finally, on one of those occasions, while she was at the temple, the high priest who was there found out that she was praying earnestly for something and told her that her prayer would be answered. Soon after, she conceived and later gave birth to her son Samuel, whom she would later give back to the Lord. After hoping for a child for so long, her obedience in service to the Lord is one of the best examples we have in all of Scripture. Today, we have a story that shares a few things in common with that story. Similar to Hannah, Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah had both been hoping for and praying for a child for many years. So many years, in fact, that they were eventually at an age where conceiving a child at that age would have been nothing short of a miracle. Their story also involves obedience and service to the Lord in the house of the Lord. And as we just read, they were blameless in following all of the commandments the Lord has. In this story, though, the priest is not the one bestowing an answer to prayer for a woman wanting a child. Instead, it's the priest himself, Zechariah, who is the one doing the requesting at the house of the Lord. As a priest, Zechariah literally had an insider role in the process of sending up prayers with the help of aromatic incense to the Lord. The hope was that the wonderful smelling incense would make the prayers smell pleasing and wonderful in the nostrils of God and make them more likely to be answered. When it came to the customs and practices of Israel in offering up important prayers to God, you simply could not get any closer in that process than Zechariah was. Perhaps some of you in the past have heard someone tell you from the pulpit or maybe in a Sunday school classroom setting that priests going into the inner part of the temple, the most holy place, would have a rope tied around them in case something went wrong. In order to preserve the sanctity and the cleanliness of the most holy place, only the designated priest could enter into it and do the collection of purification, do the rituals that they were going to perform after doing a collection of purification rituals, get themselves clean before going in. And so, as the story went, if a priest were to faint or die while they were in there, there was no one who could go in and get them. The only way to get them out would be to pull on the rope and pull out the priest at the end of that rope. Or at least that's how the story was told. Now, while there does not seem to be any biblical evidence for that kind of a story being true, and it seems more likely that that story came about much later on, according to the records we have, the reality is that Zechariah was actually at the end of a rope, his own. At the time of this surprising encounter with an angel standing beside the altar, while Zechariah was burning incense and offering up prayers, Zechariah was at the end of the rope as it pertained to this continual prayer that he had for he and his wife to finally have a child. He was so far at the end of his prayer rope that even though he had enough of what was needed to still pray for a child, he didn't have enough of what was needed to actually believe what the angel was telling him when the angel told him that his prayer would finally be answered. In Zechariah's prayerful unbelief, he had some questions. He needed some certainties. He needed something to provide him assurance. And who can blame him one bit for wanting to know how this miraculous answer to prayer was going to happen? Few things are more painful in life than getting your hopes up only to have them crashed. Similar to how you or I might respond if we were in his shoes, Zechariah wanted an added level of certainty from the angel. And he probably wanted it for a very specific reason. He wanted to protect the heart of his wife as well as his own. For many years, he and Elizabeth had grown accustomed to their prayer not being answered, getting filled with hope all of a sudden at this late hour in life, only to be disappointed once again, would be much worse than just staying where things were currently. As I shared earlier about the prisoner, the sudden loss of hope can have devastating impacts on a person. Maybe you've had a similar long-term unanswered prayer in your own life, a prayer deep in your heart that you've been praying for a very long time, a prayer that you've maybe prayed 100 times or 1,000 times or more, but you just don't know if you're ever going to get the answer you're praying for. A prayer that may be deeply ingrained into your routine, but you're at the point where your level of hope that it will be fulfilled is actually pretty thin. That is where Zechariah found himself as an angel appeared and brought him good news. And so instead of feeling joy, he felt a certain level of skepticism. Maybe there was a little something extra in that incense, and this was all just some sort of a hallucination, and there was no good reason for him to keep hoping for the impossible. But what Zechariah discovered was that this was all very, very true. It was really happening. Alongside the hoping of Zechariah and Elizabeth for a child was the multi-generational hope for God to send a Messiah, the same Messiah we've been singing about in all of our songs this morning. At the same time that Zechariah and Elizabeth were at the end of their rope, God's people were also at the end of theirs. They had already endured the painful experience of being displaced from Israel and Judah and sent into exile into Babylonia and Assyria. At this point in their history, they are no longer in exile, but they were never able to recover all that had been lost. They weren't in exile, but they were just merely existing under the thumb of Rome as a shadow of their former selves. Because of that predicament, the people of Israel were hoping and waiting for a Messiah. Many generations had come and gone without experiencing the fulfillment of that hope. For some, their hope had already faded, and for others, their hope got twisted. Instead of hoping for the Messiah that God had promised, they started hoping for a Messiah that was shaped by their own desires. Their difficult circumstances had a shaping impact on the Messiah that they were wanting to show up. The Messiah they were hoping for was a messianic king who would unite God's people, Israel, and lead them in a successful rebellion against the power of Rome and bring them back to the glory days of King David. They wanted a very specific Messiah shaped by their own desires who would make Israel great once again. When it later became clear to such people that Jesus was not going to be that Messiah they were hoping for, Jesus became an instant disappointment, and they had zero use for him. Their disappointment with Jesus because of their twisted hope became abundantly clear when just days after Jesus had a triumphal entry into Jerusalem where people laid their cloaks before him, the tree branches before him in a very kingly royal way as Jesus entered the city, some of those very same people wanted the Roman person in authority named Pontius Pilate to release Barabbas to them instead of Jesus. That situation makes complete sense when you look at their misshaped hopes. They were celebrating Jesus and treating him as their king because they thought he was going to use his miraculous power to help them throw off the shackles of Roman authority and bring back those victorious, glorious days of King David. In their eyes, if Jesus wasn't going to do that, he couldn't possibly be the Messiah. In their eyes, if Jesus wasn't going to do that, he just wasn't useful to their cause. He wasn't nearly as useful as a person like Barabbas would be, who is known for inciting rebellions. They needed Barabbas to help with that because Jesus wasn't going to. Similar to Israel at the time of Jesus, our hopes can get off track. And similar to Israel, we can find ourselves hoping for the wrong things. Sometimes we can be praying for the wrong things when what we should be praying for and hoping for is something else. And so at the front end of a brand new year, it's a good time for us to calibrate our hopes. A season like that of Advent is a great time for us to think about and evaluate the hopes that we're holding on to. In this broken world, where there are so many things that are not remotely close to what we wish they would be, we need to hope. We need to hope for the right thing, and we need to hope for the right thing at the right time. We need to hope because hope keeps us moving forward. We need to hope because hope keeps us from falling into despair and cynicism because of the brokenness around us. We need to hope because it keeps our heads up and looking to the future, knowing that something good is coming because we have a good God who has promised those things for his people. Despite Israel being on the brink of entering into exile, we read in Jeremiah 29:11, that God still had plans for them, plans that would give them a hope and a future. In our scripture reading last week from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, the Apostle Paul told the church that they were not to grieve like the people of this world who have no hope. We need to hope, and we have a hope found in Christ. We need to hope for the right things. We need to acknowledge that sometimes our hopes are based on our own selfish desires and not on the desires of God for us. We need to acknowledge that sometimes we hope for things that we selfishly want instead of the things that we spiritually need. When we hope for the wrong things and get them, what we often find is that the things we were hoping for were not nearly as fulfilling as we thought they would be. Over the years, there have been plenty of times where we hear on the news about the tragic deaths of popular or wealthy people who directly or indirectly took their own lives through a variety of means, including drugs and alcohol. The deaths of people like Robin Williams are deaths that really shock people. We look at people's lives from the outside and we think that the amount of popularity or wealth they have must really be something special for them to have. What we end up discovering, though, is that those superficial things don't actually translate into contentment or joy. If we hope for the wrong things, we can just as easily end up unfulfilled and empty. Not only do we need to hope and need to hope for the right things, but we also need to hope for the right things at the right time. The words of the angel to Zechariah about an answer to his prayers were going to come true at the appointed time, a time appointed by God. Later on in the book of Luke, not long after Zechariah and Elizabeth get their good news, Mary would receive similar news from an angel of God, news that she would conceive and give birth to a son, and at just the right time, Jesus was born into this world. God's timing is perfect, and so God's timing is what we wait for. In our fast-paced world, we are not necessarily accustomed to waiting. In a world where we can get almost anything our heart desires at the click of a button and have it delivered to our door, hoping for something and waiting for something for a long time can feel like an agonizing experience. It can feel like it's much longer than it really is. But what our scripture reading reminds us today, as we begin this newest season of Advent, is that hoping for the right things at the right time, no matter how long it takes, will be worth it when all is said and done. Zechariah and Elizabeth waited and hoped for decades for a child. The people of Israel waited and hoped for centuries for a Messiah. And at the right time, those hopes were fulfilled. At this time, we're going to close with communion. And I know this isn't the first Sunday of the month, but this is something that we are going to be doing for each Sunday of Advent leading up to Christmas. When it comes to the hope, peace, joy, and love that we talk about each year for Advent, it is fitting for us to gather around this table and participate in this meal. We have a hope that is found in Jesus Christ. There is a peace with God made possible through Christ. There is a joy of salvation because of Christ. And there is a love of God for the world demonstrated in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ. So if it's your experience today that your hope is found in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, I would invite you to receive this meal as an expression of that hope. Jesus is the hope of the world, and so Jesus has offered himself to all of us. As we distribute the elements, there will be two cups stacked with bread in the bottom and juice in the top. Take out both of those cups together, wait till everyone has been served, and then we'll take those elements together. You can receive those elements up front. There's going to be plenty of room on a morning like today. Most times we stretch all the way across, but there's plenty of room for us to join together up here, or we can bring those elements to where you're seated. And if for any reason you don't want to receive the elements this morning, just put up your hand as Lori and I go around. And if that is your situation this morning, I do pray for God's blessings to be upon you, whatever your situation may be. And we do pray that one day you will be able to share in this meal with us. For those who do wish to receive the elements this morning up front, go ahead and make your way at this time.